Blog Talk Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين.
I want to bring to our attention achievement publication that has been produced and is produced for our community, mainly for our community, but it will serve anybody who wants some help from the material that are put into this publication. And the book is called The Language of Revelation, Lugatutenzin, the language of translation. And it is by a brother that I have known to be dedicated and devoted to the study of Quranic Arabic and the teaching of that subject to our students and to grown-ups as well. And that is Brother Sadiq Jahad. I think most of us know of him. Brother Sadiq Jahad, will you please stand and face the audience? So they have, yeah, this is Brother Sadiq Jahad. So I highly recommend this book for you all who are studying, grown-ups, but also for our youngsters who are studying in the separate organized Quranic studies classes. Who are also studying in school system, our school system, Claire Muhammad school system, Claire Muhammad schools, and like the one in Atlanta and Washington D.C., Chicago, and many places. I highly recommend this book, The Language of Revelation. It's Quranic, Arabic, with lessons, studies to improve your ability to read the Quran and get more understanding and to qualify yourself, inshallah, to be a teacher one day. Because out of you, from you who are interested in Quranic Arabic, we are going to get our next generation of teachers and imams and leaders, you know. So Allah be with you all and bless you to benefit from these wonderful projects and publications that our community is producing. This is one. We have others. We have others that I have seen, and grateful to Allah for students and scholars like our brother Sadiq Jahad. Congratulations, my brother.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. This is Imam Sadiq Jahad. You can secure the book by going to our website, www.sadiqjihad.com. That's SIDDEQ Jihad, JIHAD.com. Or you can send a postal money order or any type of money order to Post Office Box 401165, Redford, REDFORD, Michigan, 48240. My email address is Sadiq, that's SIDDEQ at MSN.com. And the phone number where we can be reached is 313-532-5246. I thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Blog Talk Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Welcome to the program, Classical Arabic, the language of revelation. In Arabic, the language of revelation is Lughat Tanzil. This evening, I intend to speak to you about the six basic rules of grammar, and we'll really approach the language from the Arabic mind. We have to approach it from the English mind that we have been so accustomed to as we have grown up here in what Elijah Muhammad used to call this place, the hells of North America. And I recall the memoir of Muhammad saying, America the beautiful and America the ugly. So we know that we live in a very strange place, but we know that this place has great potential for the advancement of al-Islam here. So we begin now speaking to you about the basic rules of grammar. You can find them on page 44 of the book entitled The Language of Revelation. And if you happen not to have this particular book and you want me to send you the six basic rules of grammar, the page out of the book, you can email me at Sadiq, S-I-D-D-E-Q, at MSN, .com, and I could scan it and send you a copy of this. So please, if you are on the airwaves here and you want to have this particular lesson in front of you so we can understand it better, please do so. And inshallah, we intend to have a visual at some point when we take the time to take advantage of the technology, where we'll have a visual going along with the audio as we instruct from this book entitled The Language of Revelation. So, the six basic rules of Arabic grammar. Before I go into that, I want to explain to you what you already know in Arabic, pardon me, in English, that you may not have been aware of. We have what we call the indefinite article in English, and we have the definite article in English. The is the definite article, and the letter A or A-N is the indefinite article. We used A-N, most of you might remember, in front of a vowel, like we say an apple or an elephant. We don't say a elephant or a apple. We say an apple, A-N. So the other non-vowel letters, we just simply say a tree, a bird, a dog, and so on. So if I were to say you in dog, A-N, and then say dog, you would say, no, that's not correct. It should be a dog instead of in dog. If I say to you, a apple, you would say, no, it's not a apple, it's an apple. So that's what we want to put on your mind initially here. So, in Arabic, the indefinite article is signified by markings on the last letter of a noun. I repeat, the indefiniteness is signified by tanween, or simply one of the vowel markings of fatha, kasra, dhamma, for the most part. And I say for the most part because some of the nouns are somewhat irregular and they don't always have fatha, kasra, dhamma on the end. A classic example would be Musa. Another one would be Maryam, for example. Maryam. It only takes a fatha or a dhamma. Maryamu, in the case of it being the subject in a sentence. Maryama, in the case of it being the object of the verb in a sentence. And also Maryama again, in the case of it being the object of the preposition in a sentence. There is some variation from these basic rules, but suffice it to say now that the indefiniteness of a noun is signified by the marking on the last letter of the noun. So I give you this noun now that is very familiar to all of us, I believe. Perhaps we don't always pronounce it most correctly, but at any rate, we're talking about the word Quran. Quran. Allah says, Allah al Quran. He teaches the Quran. So it's not Quran or Quran. It's Qur, and you pause abruptly, and you say, an, Allah al-Qur'an. So this word Quran has what we call Dhammatain on the end of it. If you're looking at the example on the page 44 of the book, The Language of Revelation. Quranun, Quranun, like you're revving up an engine. Un, un. The last letter is Noon, which is a N, and it has Dhammatain, that is two Dhammas on the end of it. And it's written different ways, that is, this Dhammatain. Sometimes the Dhammatain is two wows together, or two Dhammas together, little small wows, I call them sometimes, even though it's not a wow, but the Dhamma looks like a wow, but it's simply smaller, and it's always above a letter. Then if you put a second Dhamma there, the second one gives you the N sound. So that Quranun. Well, we don't pronounce the un part of it when we just simply have this word standing alone. And so it is with words like Muhammad. Muhammad, the last letter is D. If you were to see it in print, then you would see Dhammatain, that is two Dhammas on the D or the Dal of the word Muhammad. So we really have it in effect as far as grammatical structure and correctness, Muhammadun. But we just simply cut off the un and say Muhammad. So here's what we are doing with the word Quran. Instead of saying Quranun, we say Quran. So the two Dhammas, or the Dhammatain, or if you can say Dhammatain, either way you want to view that or pronounce it, would suggest that this word Quran is in what we call the subject case, another term that I learned from learning Arabic, and it's part of the English language structure as far as grammar. Nominative or nominative, N-O-M-I-N-A-T-I-V-E, nominative. So if I were to write a sentence and I wanted to say, for example, a Quran was on my shelf. Again, a Quran was on my shelf. In English, if you were to break that sentence down, right away you know that the subject of that sentence is a Quran. So if you were to look in the Arabic sentence to translate that into Arabic, you'd have to have Dhammatain on the noon to suggest or to indicate, in fact, that Quran is the subject of that sentence. So we want you to understand that the indefiniteness of the Arabic nouns are signified by what is on the last letter of the noun. And there are some exceptions in the sense of having some words that are ending with a long E sound or a long fatha sound, as I indicated earlier, something like Musa or Isa, which is the name of Jesus in Arabic. Isa ibn Maryam, Jesus the son of Mary. So in continuing, we have the definite subject case. Now, if I said definite to you, that would signify to you that we're talking about the. So if I wanted to say the Quran, we simply affix L on the front of the word Quran, and we drop one of the Dhammas, and we simply just have Dhamma on the end, and we would pronounce it El-Quranu, El-Quranu. So you might ask, why are we saying El-Quranu as opposed to El-Quranun? If I were to have L on the front, that makes it definite. If I had Dhammatain on the end, that would make it indefinite. So a word cannot be definite and indefinite at the same time. So whenever you have L, one of the, or the Tanween, in fact, has to be removed. The Tanween has to be removed. So when we say Tanween, we're saying one of the Dhammas has to be removed. So we come up with El-Quranu as opposed to El-Quranun. And the word El-Quran, I translate it many times as the proclamation. So El-Quran is the proclamation. The Quran is simply proclamation, or it could be translated a proclamation. Some say it's a recital that should be repeated again and again. But we also know if you study the Abdullah Yusuf Ali translation, not that he's the ultimate authority, but he translates the word ikra as proclaim. Then he puts in parentheses, read. So if you were to study this word kara'a, which is the root of it, you'll find that it means to proclaim as well as recite. And it also means to put something together, piece by piece and part by part. So we know that's the process that occurs in the wombs of our mothers before we come out into the world. So we know that once a woman is impregnated, she has to sooner or later make a proclamation of a boy, a girl, quadruplets or triplets, or God forbid, a stillborn child that miscarried. At any rate, I'm giving you this idea of proclamation in light of the fact that the angel Jibril reportedly squeezed Muhammad, certainly in a mental way, asking him to proclaim, and he said three times that he could not proclaim. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is highly glorified as he, told him, "Ikra, proclaim in the name of thy Lord who has created." So the indication is he was not being told to read, he was being told to proclaim, because he was impregnated with a message of deliverance for himself and for his people, but he did not know, not just for his people, for the whole of the world, for all times, but he didn't know that he was pregnant with this message of deliverance. Praise be to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But continuing the subject now. So you want to have it in your mind thus far that if I want to make a noun a subject in a sentence, I can either put it in the indefinite case, in the case of Qur'anun, or I can put it in the definite case and put al in front and just have the dhamma on the last letter, which is the letter noon or n. And the same thing applies with this. Instead of saying el Qur'anu, we'll just simply say el Qur'an. Again, repeating what I stated earlier, Qur'anun is how it's written, but instead of saying the un part, we just simply say Qur'an. Next, we're going to talk about the object of the verb case in the indefinite structure and the definite structure. The object of the verb structure, I'll give you the sentence. He read a Qur'an. So here we have a basic sentence. He is the subject. Read is the verb. A Qur'an is the object. In fact, it's the direct object of the verb read. So in Arabic, that sentence would read, Qara'a Qur'anan. Qur'anan. Hear the difference? First we said in the subject case it's Qur'anun, but now we have flipped it, if you will, and changed it to Qur'anan. Why? Because the word Qur'an in this sentence is no longer the subject. It is in fact now the direct object of the verb read. One of the beautiful features of the Arabic language is that within the verbal structure, the person that is doing, or persons that are doing the act, is contained therein. By that I'm saying to you, if I say to you, Qara'a, that means he read, or I can simply translate it as simply read. In this case, it's he read, Qara'a, he read. What did he read? A Qur'an. So the object of the verb structure, the direct object of the verb structure, will indicate that we have to have fathatain on the noon or the end of the word Qur'an. Fathatain, which is simply two fathas, two forward slash marks above the last letter. And it gives the sound of A-N. The first sound fatties I, and then the second fatta gives you what we call tanween, which is the state of putting an N sound on the end of the noun. Qara'a Qur'anan. So when we spell it out as I did there, as far as pronouncing it all the way through, I said Qur'anan. But if I wanted to, I could say Qara'a Qur'an, and just cut it and don't say the tanween or the N sound if I wanted to. But structurally, the fatatain has to be there in writing. He read a Qur'an. Next one is Qara'a al-Qur'ana. He read the Qur'an. And now you hear the word the, so you know that El, that's Aleph Fatha, Lam Sukun, has to be on the front of the word Qur'an. And as I mentioned earlier, a word, a noun, cannot be definite and indefinite at the same time. So it would be very, very bad grammar if I were to say Qara al Qur'anan, because it cannot be, again, definite and indefinite at the same time. So the second fatha on the letter noon, which is the last letter of the word Qur'an, has to be removed, and we have it, as I mentioned a moment ago, Qara al Qur'ana. The na is symbolizing that this word, the Qur'an, is the object, the direct object of the verb read. And Qara itself lets you know who the doer of the reading is. He read the Qur'an. So continuing, we go now to the object of the preposition case. So if we're talking about the object of preposition, it goes without saying that we have a preposition prefacing the word Qur'an. So in the indefinite case, now we have kasratain on the noon of the word Qur'an. Now, pray Allah that you come from this lesson with the proper pronunciation of this wonderful proclamation that Allah has sent to the whole of humanity. We know Allah says in the Qur'an that it is for the whole of humanity because He says so beautifully, kaja'akum min Allahi nuran wa kitabun mubin. No doubt has come to you all a light and a plain book. So He's indicating clearly that this book is for all people, not just the book of the Muslim, but for all people in kuntum ta'alimun, if they only but knew. So here we have fi. Fi is a preposition meaning in. Fi Qur'anin. I repeat. Fi Qur'anin. If you're following the flow of what we're doing here, you know we started out with Qur'anun, or like on. That's this indefinite subject structure. Then we follow that up with Qur'anan, which is the direct object of the verb structure. Qur'anan. So you want to associate in your mind un as being in the subject case. You want to associate an, as an, as being the object of the verb case. And lastly here, you want to associate kasratain, that is two kasras, which is en sound, as the object of the preposition structure. Fi Qur'anin. So again, the preposition fi is preceding the word Qur'an. So if I were to say to you, fi Qur'anun, you would say, no, that's improper grammar. It should be Qur'anin. Why? Because the language is structured, and Allah follows these rules in the Qur'an. Also, incidentally, most importantly, really, so the kasratain, the en sound, is how you can, in fact, go into any verse of the Quran. If you see kasratain on a noun, then you know that the word before it, be it one letter or be it, you know, the preposition fi, as in the case of what we're talking about now, you know that that letter in front of it has to be a preposition. A good example is the preposition be, bad with fatha. So I say, be Quranin. That means by a Quran or in a Quran. So be sometimes means by. It also means with in many cases. With a Quran. Be Quranin. So the be, that is the bad with kasra, causes the word Quran to end with kasratain. Again, that's fi Quranin. So far we've gone over five basic rules of the Arabic grammar. And the last one, it follows from a logical perspective that if I want to say now in the Quran, is that a complete sentence? No, indeed it is not. It is not. It is called a prepositional phrase. So is in a Quran, a prepositional phrase. What is the difference between a phrase and a sentence? Is that a sentence indicates a complete thought, whereas a phrase does not. In the Quran, what about it? In a Quran, what about it? It's not being clear in terms of what is being indicated here. So it's called a phrase. So we have it here now. Fil Qur'ani. Fil Qur'ani. I'm saying fi, and I'm tying it in with the noun, and instead of saying fi el Qur'ani, because of the sun letter and moon letter rules that we have, we just liaison the two words together, and you hear fil as opposed to fi el Qur'ani. Fil Qur'ani. Now we have simply a kasra on the word Quran. But when we pronounce it, it's not necessary to pronounce the kasra. But when you write it, it is necessary and strongly recommended that you acknowledge the rules of grammar. Fil Qur'ani. That is the sixth rule of the grammar. So in summarizing this, we have it, undefined subjects, or indefinite subjects, take dhammatain. What is dhammatain? Two dhammas. And the second one gives us the M sound. The first one gives us a U sound. So we tie the two sounds together, and it's on, like you're revving up an engine. Define subjects takes L on the front of the noun, plus dhamma on the last letter of the noun. Another example would be masjidun. We don't say masjidun, we just simply say masjid in the subject case. If I want to say the masjid, I would say el masjidu. But instead of uttering the dhamma that is there grammatically, I just simply say el masjid. The masjid. So undefined subjects take dhammatain, that's two dhammas, and sometimes the dhammatain is written in a kind of a fancy way in the sense that you have the dhamma, then you have a little slash mark on the end of the dhamma to denote that it's un. Again, defined subjects take L plus dhamma on the end of the noun. Undefined objects take fathatain, that is two fathas, which gives us the A-N sound. Fatha by itself is simply A. Now I put a second one. We have established in the Arabic language that the second one gives you an N sound. So that's why we say A-N. Fathatain. Undefined objects takes hatin. So in order to have an object of the verb in the sentence, you must have a verb in the sentence, following the logic. And I gave you the example earlier of he read. Read is the verb. What did he read? A Quran. That's the object that was read. Continuing on, define objects. Or we can say more precisely, define direct objects. I mean, there's no space in between the verb and the noun. Takes L, prefacing the noun with the fetha on the last letter of the noun. An example that we gave you was Qara al Qur'ana, the fetha on the noon, which is the last letter of the word Qur'an. Next, undefined objects of prepositions take kasratain. Kasratain. The tain part means two. Kasra means just one. The kasratain indicates two. We have a nation called Bahrain, which is the city by the two seas. I don't know the two seas over there, but I know you've heard of that nation. Bahrain. Bahrain is sea. The Bahrain is two seas. So continuing, define objects of the preposition takes L, that's what define would indicate, definiteness, plus a kasra on the last letter of the noun. So we have two terms that we use here, indefinite and definite. Sometimes we refer to the indefinite as the undefined case. And sometimes we refer to the definite case as the defined case. So if you follow the logic, if I have five different apples before me and I ask you to give me an apple, you can give me a Macintosh, the delicious apple, whatever other apples that might be in front of me, and you would be honoring my request. But if I pointed and I said to you, give me the apple, and I'm actually pointing to, let's say, the Macintosh apple, then you know definitely what apple I'm referring to. So L is a defined situation, and the un, the an, or the in, that is fatatain, pardon me, dhammatain, fatatain, and kasratain, is denoting indefiniteness, where I'm not being crystal clear as to what I'm referring to. And it's very interesting, as I speak, I recall receiving a gift from a brother who had been in prison, and he had a little small book, and he said, this is a Quran. I said, yeah, and he went on to tell me that Noble Drew Ali had come up with this little booklet, really, it's like a pamphlet. And then later I come to find out that he was guilty of plagiarism in the sense that he took some verses from the second book of Kings out of the Bible and put it into his book as though it was his very own language. So if I said, in a Quran, if a person is exposed to that particular publication by Noble Drew Ali, they wouldn't know for sure that I'm referring to El Quran, the one that Allah revealed to Muhammad through the angel Jibril. Praise be to Allah. So I hope you are understanding what I'm setting forth here. And if not, we do have the page 44 that I could send to you. And also, I'm only an email away or a phone call away. I can reach at 313-532-5246. Now, mind you, there are exceptions to these rules which indicate clarity, certainty, and emphasis. When I say exceptions, I'm saying to you that, generally speaking, if I want to give you the object of the verb or the object of a preposition, it would have cash retained or simply cashier in the case of the object of a preposition. And then in the case of the object of a verb, it would either be fatain or the fata on the last letter in the definite article L prefacing the noun. So the classic example of Allah deviating, if you will, from this rule, not breaking the rule, but deviating from this rule, is the famous kalimat that we repeatedly say, and that is, La ilaha illallah. And notice I said La ilaha. So the noun is really ilahun. Ilahun in the subject case. Ilahun. Ilahun literally means deity, or you could translate it if you wanted to as a deity. La means no. But Allah, instead of saying to you and I, La ilahun, he breaks the rule of grammar, or deviates from the standard rule of grammar, and puts a fatha on the H of the word ilahun. And he says to us, La ilaha, forcing an abrupt stop, and in fact, reflection, if you will. Then he says, Illallah, who? Put a dhamma on the word Allah. So there's no, absolutely no deity illallah except the one and only deity. And we call him Allah. So Allah is a contraction of two words, Al, which is the definite article, and Ilahun, which means deity. And we know that Al is there following the rule of grammar, and the Dhamma is on the H following the second rule of grammar where it talks about the definite subject. So El Ilah has been transformed into Allah, or more precisely, El Ilahu, which is the deity, has been transferred into Allah, a contraction, merging the two words together. So again, Allah says, La ilaha, and you should not make that ha long when you're reciting the adhan or the ikama or reciting it, period. It's La ilaha, like a hatchet, cutting that deity off as having any existence. Illallah, except the one and only deity. So we as Muslims, I believe, will be better served if we translated Allah for those who don't realize and understand that Allah is the Arabic word for the one and only deity. And even in the English translations, pardon me, the Arabic translations of the Bible, Allah is throughout the translation whenever they refer to God in the Arabic Bibles. Praise be to Allah. So again, La ilaha, forcing you to stop, illallah. But if we followed the six basic rules of grammar, it would have been La ilahun, illallah. But Allah wanted to give you and I a sharp reflection, a quick reflection, so he deviated from his rule, and he calls that construction the La of absolute negation of the existence of the noun that comes after the La. So it's a very strong La. That's why you hear it translated as absolutely no, as opposed to just simply saying there's no. La ilaha illallah. All right. Continuing now. Before I continue, I want to mention this to you. I recall it being said by a brother, in fact, his name was Abdul Hakim Jackson, that the power of the Arabic language is in the accusative. And I didn't mention earlier, but the accusative is simply another word for the object of the verb case. So that sound of ah is very sharp and abrupt, and Allah manipulates it, if you will, and utilizes it in the grammatical structure, in terms of sound, and also in terms of expressing more powerful meaning and emphasis. Another example is the what we call the wow of swearing. The wow of swearing, what is it? Simply a wow of satire, followed by a noun ending kasra or kasratain, that is a E sound or EN sound. Classic example is in the Surah 103, where Allah says, Wala Asri, Wala Asri. Most of the time, when you hear it recited, you just simply hear people say, Wala Asr. You don't hear the kasra on the R, but it is there. When you get a chance, you'll see it in your Quran, chapter 103. So many times, Wala Asr is translated as, by the token of time, through the ages, they add in parentheses. I'm speaking of Abdullah Yusuf Ali. And I think they called it an adjurative. Adjurative means swearing by something. And so we know that Allah is the controller of time and the maker and creator of time. And he is the only one that can swear by it with certainty as to what will happen and what will not happen. So if you see this particular verse, well, actually, in the context of what I just said, you would want to add words such as, I, Allah, swear by the time I have created. Wal asri, innal insana lafi kusr. Surely the humanity is in a state of severe loss. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Except those who have faith and work righteousness. وَتَوَصَّوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَصَّوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. And they encourage and enjoin one another in truth and in patience and constancy. So if you understand this wal asri as the structure that Allah uses to swear by what he has created, then you will automatically see Allah in these verses where the wow of swearing is being utilized. Another example is wal adiyati dabaha, and he swears by the swift camels or horses that run with the panting breath. Allah is swearing by them. Then he goes on to give you more explanation about this this horse and its characteristics and relating it to the fact that the human beings should be as devoted to him, Allah, as Allah has designed and structured the horse to be devoted to the rider. And we have many other animals, as you know, that are devoted to human beings. In fact, I find it so interesting and striking. Allah blessed me to see on the National Geographic special where there were three Africans wearing a little skirt, if you will, over their private and whatnot, no shirt on, but had a few spears with them, walk right on a lion's keel as the lions were devouring their keel, eating it, and snatched up the antelope or whatever it was from the lions, and the lions didn't chase them. And I remember them saying in the last tail end of it, which I caught, that the strategy is if they grab it and move quick, the lion, he won't follow. But if they linger around, he'll get to thinking, hey, that's my meat, and perhaps pursue them. So it could very well be that Allah has put it in the lion, even though he is supposedly the king of the jungle, that he should regard and yield to this homo sapien that Allah has created as the crown of the creation, the Khalifa in the earth. Praise be to Allah. So in continuing, I want to mention to you that there are other structures in the language that deviates from these six basic rules. And if you go to the book and you read the section, the five accusatives, you will be able to see more of that deviation from the standard six basic rules of grammar. Praise be to Allah. So for exercise, I give you the word kataba. Kataba means he wrote. If I want to say he wrote a book, the word for book is kitabun in the subject case. How do I put kitabun in the object of the verb case? Indefinite object of the verb case. If you follow in the rules, you will go on the indefinite side of the column here, and you'll see the indefinite and undefined endings. And you look under the object of the verb section, and you know that the object of the verb in the indefinite structure takes fathatain. So you go to the word kitabun, take the un off, and replace it with fathatain. So this is a perfect Arabic sentence. Kataba kitaban. Kataba, he wrote. What did he write? A kitaban, a book. He wrote a book. Kataba kitaban. If I wanted to just cut off the A-N in pronunciation, I would say kataba kitaba. Kataba kitaba. But grammatically, when you write it, the fatatain should be on the ba, which is the last letter of the noun book. Okay, continuing. So I want to say simply, in a book, now we're talking about the object of the preposition case. Fi means in. And the word book or a book is the object of the preposition. So if you're following the flow of what I just stated, undefined objects of prepositions take kasratain. So it would be fi kitabin. Fi, meaning in, kitabin, as opposed to ban or bun. So understand that the kasratain is associated with the object of the preposition structure. Praise be to Allah. And these rules that I am referring to, as I mentioned earlier, are flowing in the glorious Quran. Allah says in the Quran, وَالْقُرْآنٍ مَجِيدٍ. And by the glorious Quran, he's swearing by this book. And he goes on to say other things following that particular ayah. وَالْقُرْآنٍ مَجِيدٍ. And notice, since we're on this topic, I shook the D. Al-Quran in Majid. And the reason why I did that is because of the rules of tajweed that has been established in the recitation of this proclamation. And the letter Dal is what we call a letter of shaking. The term that they use for shaking is Qawqala. Qawqala. So the letter Dal is a letter of shaking. We have the letter Q, which is cough, is a letter of shaking. The letter Ba, the letter of shaking. The letter Jim, the letter of shaking. And as I indicated, the letter Dal. So we have five letters. And I didn't mention the Tal, pardon me. The letter cough, Tal, Ba, Jim, and Dal. Tall is that higher T. So this particular structure, as far as tajweed is concerned, whenever there is a cough in a word and it happens to be in the middle of the word or somewhere not on the end of the word, and it has a sukun on it, then you shake it just a little bit. All five of these letters. Again, cough, ta, ba, jim, and dal. Now, all of the letters of the alphabet is on page 26 of the book. And if these letters appear at the end of a word, then you give it a major shaking as opposed to a minor shaking. A major shaking is the cough, the taw, the ba, the jima, the del comes at the end of a ayah. So a classic example of the dal being shaken is the Surat al-Ikhlas. Qul huwallahu ahad. I'm shaking the D. Allahu samad. Shaking that D. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. I shook the first D on yalid just a little bit, and then the yulad, I shook it a lot. So listen carefully. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. In the last ayah. Wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Normally it would have been ahadun, or simply just saying ahad, without the shaking. But because of this tajweed rule, we shake the D with a major shaking at the end, and we shake these five letters if they appear inside of a word with minor shakings if it has a sukun over them. That's the rule of Qal Qala. And again, these rules of tajweed are contained in the book, The Language of Revelation. I have a table of contents on the front of the book that will help you get to it if you have the book or if you opt to secure the book. Praise be to Allah. So if I have a noun and I want to just keep it in the subject case, I don't have to do any changing. I just have the Dhamma Tain on it. Muhammadun, we mentioned earlier. Quranun. Masjidun. The un is there. Most of the names that we have that are pure Arabic names have Dhamma Tain on the end if we just have them standing alone. My name is Sadiq with a cough on the end. But it has Dhamma Tain when I write it. Siddiqun. Karimun. Warithun, which is the name of our great leader, Imam Warith bin Muhammad. Warithun. There's a ba as the last letter of Warith. Instead of saying Warith, we can say Warithun, dun, in terms of writing it and following the rules of grammar. So what I'm trying to get you to understand now is that if a noun is present and there's no verb or preposition causing it to change its structure, it remains in the un structure. It remains there. But one of the beautiful things about the language too is if I were to take a word, a classic example, talibun means student. Talibun, student. If I say to you, Taliban, with the fatatain, follow me now, you would think that that would be incorrect because I don't have a verb acting with this noun, talib. But our professor, Dr. Schaffer, indicated to us some years ago, praise be to Allah, may Allah grant him paradise, that when you put a noun in the fatatain structure like that, or the what we call accusative case, is suggesting that that thing has forever longevity. So I believe the students of the Quran over there in Afghanistan is sending the message that they endeavor and intend to be students of the Quran forever. We have another example. Jahada. That means he strove or strived with his utmost in a given endeavor. Jahada, very rich word. It doesn't mean war. It means striving in whatever endeavor that might be you might be involved in. But we know that all endeavors are not righteous endeavors.